Good morning. It's good to gather in the house of the Lord this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brian Halliday. I'm presently serving as an elder here at Rocky Alliance. As was kind of shown in the announcements there, our senior pastor, Pastor Kelly, is presently leading a mission trip in Brazil. Our associate pastor, Carson, is on sabbatical this summer. Now, at our church, it will not be uncommon for you to see one of the elders up here. From time to time, we give the pastors a break, and the elders, one of the elders will bring the service. It happens throughout the year. All of that to say, this morning, you get me. Is it hot in here? Let's pray. God, you are good. As we look at your word today, would you open our eyes? Would we see clearly how it applies to us today and every day? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we begin this morning, a true story. About 25 years ago, a young person known to me finished their career training. Now, this young person had student loans of approximately $50,000. And at parental urging, he or she, though they felt it was likely not worth their time, this person filled out the necessary paperwork seeking government forgiveness of a portion of that debt. Well, it turned out to be time well spent. The returning reply advised that $10,000 had been removed from the amount owed. 10 grand that didn't have to be paid back. Now, the $10,000 was forgiven because he or she had asked in the right format, in the right time frame, for that forgiveness. This is just a small, worldly example of grace. I say small because it's dwarfed by the grace that is the subject of our passage this morning. We're in a summer series on the parables of Jesus. Parables are teaching points, stories, or scenarios that seek to highlight or clearly define what Jesus is teaching in that moment. Stories that change us. So today's parable is a story of grace. It's also a story of a lack thereof, a complete lack of grace. Turn with me in your Bibles, or your Bible app, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be reading from the English Standard Version, or the ESV. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, the blue books that are in the chair rows there are there for you to use. Just as a note to those of you who may be visiting here, we don't usually put the main Bible passage up here on the screens. And this is because we want you to read it for yourself. Don't trust me, or for that matter, whomever is standing up here. Check it for yourself. Is this really what the Bible says? So let's read together. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to begin at verse 21 and carry through to the end of the parable at verse 35. So, the passage begins with Peter approaching Jesus with a question. So let's read together. Then Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say seven times, but 77 times." Jesus then opens the parable. Therefore, he says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all the debt. And then Jesus concludes with, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So the parable begins with this question from Peter, and the origins of the question are found in the preceding three verses of chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Jesus has just given the process of discipline within the church, how to properly deal with someone who has hurt you or sinned against you. First, you're to approach this person privately. If that's unsuccessful, then you approach them a second time, but you bring witnesses. Now, if that's still unsuccessful, then he instructs it to be taken before the entire church. And this leads to Peter's question. If a brother or sister continues to sin against me, how many times do I continue to forgive him or her? As many as 7 times? It makes me wonder, is Peter speaking hypothetically from the teaching of verses 15 to 17? Or is Peter referring to a personal and ongoing issue between himself and another disciple when he asks, is 7 times enough? Well, we don't know, because Matthew doesn't specify. But Jesus' answer is very specific. Not only 7 times, but 77 times. Again, is Peter just to keep a running tally? Is Jesus suggesting that he keep a tab? And when he hits the magic number of 77, he's free to turn his back on his fellow brother or sister and refuse forgiveness? I don't believe so. I believe that Jesus is saying that forgiveness cannot have limitations. If a brother or sister comes to us in honesty and humility, seeking forgiveness, we are to forgive. What is forgiveness? I've heard, you know, there's an old saying, some of us old timers will remember, that says, you know, forgive and forget. And I'm not sure I follow that. That we should and must forgive is clearly stated. But does that mean we're also to forget? I don't know. An abused spouse or child can and should forgive. But that doesn't mean that he or she should risk their own safety or that of their children. Forgive the past and let it go, yes. But cautious boundaries going forward are perhaps not out of line. So we must forgive. Forgive after 7 times, 70 times, maybe 700 times. Someone hurts or sinned against us, that's a hard pill to swallow. Jesus then tells this parable to provide reference to the why. Why is it so important that we forgive those who cause hurt to us? He begins the verse with the context of the tale in verse 23 when he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. It's interesting, Jesus uses this phrase, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to, or the kingdom of heaven is like, 12 times in the parables of the book of Matthew. Now, in this particular case, with this line, Jesus is saying that the mercy of God is like a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. In verse 24, we're told that the subject of the parable owed his master 10,000 talents. So how much is that? Is that the equivalent of a couple thousand bucks today? $10,000? $100,000? I didn't know. So I did some research. A biblical scholar states that a talent was a monetary unit worth about 20 years of wages for a laborer. 20 years for a single talent. This guy owes 10,000 talents. If you add four zeros to 20 years, that's 200,000 years of a laborer's wages. So let's do some math for fun. Numbers for 2025 in Canadian dollars. So let's say a Canadian laborer makes $20 an hour for ease of calculation. They work a 40-hour work week. Times that $20 is $800. 52 weeks work weeks in a year mean $41,600 per year is the 1 year's wages for a Canadian laborer. Times that by 20 years, and you come up with $832,000 Canadian. That's the value of one talent. Our guy here owes 10,000 talents, or 8,320 million Canadian dollars. Wow. How do you get there? You know, I don't know if this guy had a gambling addiction. He liked to play the horses, maybe. Maybe he had a drug problem. Perhaps he borrowed money from the mob on a bad investment in cryptocurrency. All we know is that he's got in deep, really deep. Jesus' point is clear. This guy owes more than can ever be repaid. All that he owns can't repay the debt. But his property can be sold and his possessions to make a payment towards the debt. This is a time in history when slavery was normalized. So this man can be sold into slavery. His wife can be sold into slavery. His children can be sold into slavery. And the value of that applied to his debt. This man and his whole family, everything that he owns, is lost. So the servant begs for his life and for that of his family. He begs for patience from his master and claims that he will pay back everything. It's important to note that both the king and the servant who's making the plea know that this is a false and hopeless claim. There is no chance this man can repay the fortune that he owns. But what happens next is a picture of grace. The king, seeing the impossible situation, takes pity on the man and forgives him this fortune. The man and his family are saved. This indebted servant is free, not just free to leave, but to leave debt-free. That weight that's been hanging over him has been removed. Now remember, Jesus began the parable with, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to, or as some translations would state, the kingdom of heaven is like. See, this servant is me. He's you. He's every one of us. We are all born into an impossible situation with a debt that we cannot repay. The sinful nature of mankind can never be reconciled before a righteous God. Not by our own merit, not by anything we can do. Though we might give our entire lives trying to be good, we will never meet the required standard. Only through Jesus' willingness to go to the cross, to be a perfect and sinless sacrifice, can we stand before a righteous God. Our debt is beyond our capacity to pay. But Jesus paid that debt for us, and he stands before the Father, and we are viewed through the lens of Jesus as debt-free. Amazing. Amazing is the grace of God. But our parable doesn't end there. The newly forgiven servant leaves undoubtedly in elation. He's over the moon. This terrible weight of debt is suddenly gone. But Jesus says that when that same servant went out, well, he encounters a man who owes him money. 100 denarii. Next slide. The same source that provided the value of a talent states that a denarius was a single day's wages for a laborer. If we use the same wage value of $20 an hour, an 8-hour workday at $20 per hour is $160. That's about the value of a denarius in today's Canadian money. So this guy owes 100 denarii, which then is about $16,000. So again, if we talk about this picture Jesus is painting in today's money, this forgiven servant was just forgiven $8 billion. And as he leaves, he finds a man who owes him $16,000 and starts to choke him, to strangle him, saying, "Pay what you owe." To make the story clear, Jesus has this second man, the second servant, repeat almost verbatim, almost word for word, what the first servant said to the king. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But the star of our parable, the forgiven servant, refuses. From here on in, we're going to call him unforgiving servant. Unforgiving servant, initials U.S. or us for short. Unforgiving servant has the second man thrown into prison until he can pay that $16,000. Unforgiving servant is unable or unwilling to extend to this man a small portion of the grace, the insurmountable grace that was extended to him by the king a short while ago. And this plays out in public. The parable says that the people who observe it are greatly distressed, and they go and tell the king everything. The king is rightfully outraged. He has unforgiving servant brought before him. He calls unforgiving servant wicked. He reflects on his own cancellation of the massive fortune in debt because he took pity on the unforgiving servant. And then the king questions why the unforgiving servant would not have had a similar mercy on the second man who owed him just a pittance in debt by comparison. And then, in anger, his master, the king, delivered him, the unforgiving servant, to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now, obviously, this parable is about forgiveness. But the crux of the matter is that forgiveness for both the unforgiving servant, but also for us, for you and me, as we stand before God, forgiveness is a two-way street. First, we need to recognize our own need for forgiveness from God. But secondly, how we forgive wrongs, both real and perceived, against us by others, is how we will be judged by God. Now, this is not the first teaching on forgiveness that kind of follows this line that Jesus has delivered to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, he has the Lord's Prayer. If you could bring up Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, where Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts." In what way? How are we to forgive us? How will he forgive us our debts? "As we have also forgiven our debtors." Jesus goes on a little further down in Matthew chapter 6, a few verses later, verses 14 and 15, and he fleshes this out a little more and states it a little more clearly. He says in Matthew 14 and 15, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Wow. Now, those of you who attend Rocky Alliance regularly will know that the Bible is central to all our teaching. The message of the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it must always be kept in context. The Spirit of God led the authors of the various books to record a specific teaching to a specific audience. The message for that audience at the time of writing is the same message for us today. It's incorrect for us to say, well, to me, this passage means blank, blank, or blank. No. The message is the same as it was when it was given to the original audience at the time of writing. Our job is to determine how to apply that message to our daily lives. It could be said that here at Rocky Alliance, we teach from a so what perspective. You may often hear the pastors or elders who teach ask at the end of a sermon, so what? We know what it meant for the audience of the day. It's still the same for us. So what? The what is, what do we do with that? How do we apply this to our lives as we walk out those doors? Scripture should change us. Every time we read the Bible, at home or in personal study, here in church or anywhere else, we should ask that question, so what? What do I do with this? How do I apply this to me? Just going to look at these stick figures here on the back wall. So this poor person here is downtrodden and carrying a heavy weight. You can see that they're almost invisible in the fog of their situation. Then we come to this person. This person has heard the word of God and come awake. And the fog is lifting slightly. You can see them a little more clearer there. Now, having heard the word, our person is now running. They're seeking after the word of God and how to apply it to their lives. And this last person has been changed. They've been changed by God's word. You can see they're bold and they're victorious over their previous circumstance. So we're at that point this morning. The so what point? So what? What do we do with this teaching? How is this application of this parable to you and me today, tomorrow, and going forward? In Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant is an allegory for the boundless nature of God's forgiveness to us. But perhaps just as importantly, it's the necessity of us extending that forgiveness to others. Peter's question, how many times should I forgive, is answered by Jesus with 77 times. I take this to be unlimited forgiveness. This parable is an illustration that our debts, our sins, can never be repaid. We do not have the ability, not if we had 20 lifetimes or $8 billion. But the debt was paid freely by Jesus on the cross. Our never-ending sin was paid, and we are forgiven if we but ask for the mercy of Jesus and repent. So what does it mean to repent? It simply means we have to mean it. We have to work at changing going forward from this place, working towards this place through the Word of God. We don't have to do it alone. We can seek the Spirit of God's help and ask that through Him we can change our lives for tomorrow and the next day and the day after. We're forgiven. And because of that truth, we must also forgive those comparatively small offenses inflicted on us by others. We feel the injustice. It can hurt. Someone has sinned against us. Someone has hurt us, intentionally or otherwise. It's a big deal for us, and yet we are to forgive. And the question is, why? Because as the parable concludes, Jesus uses it to show us that if we cannot forgive others, there are consequences. In the parable, the king repeals his previous decree of forgiveness. And as Jesus has said, this is a reflection of the kingdom of heaven at the beginning of the parable. And when we get to the end of the parable, he says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Going back to that fourth slide, again, it's so clear there. Matthew 6, chapter 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. That's harsh stuff. You may not like it. I don't like it. But I didn't write it. It's not my words. It's the word of God. So if you sit here today with a hurt or a grudge against another believer, if they've hurt you or sinned against you, but they have sought your forgiveness, let it go. Forgive them as Jesus forgave you and me. Love them as Jesus loved us. Let's pray. Father, we are sinners, and we have no right to appeal to you. Yet, as the king in the parable, you have extended to us a mercy that we don't deserve. We thank and we praise you, Lord, for your unending grace. And so, Father, if there is in our lives a hurt or a grudge, an offense that we carry against someone else, would you, by your Spirit, shine a light on that grudge? Would you give us a measure of your grace for our brothers and sisters, that we might forgive as we are forgiven? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.